ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Thursday morning, everybody. John, but no Lance. A familiar voice joining us this morning, taking Lance's place, the warm and cuddly Del Olale, in for Lance Zierlein this morning, and can't be happier about it. Couldn't be happier about getting my text last night.
You know, there are a couple people I despise just because of what they do to my life on occasion. You and Lance, because he contributed to this as well. Oh, he's sick again for some reason. And you texting like you're a caveman. Let's go through the text.
What do you want me to say? Hi, Del.
No.
How are you this evening?
No, put a complete sentence together.
Hi, Del.
What you doing tomorrow? Need you. Lance, sick.
What are you, writing on the, scribble on the walls?
Yeah.
Like a Cro-Magnon man?
I'm succinct. That's what I am.
Hey.
And then I can't read the rest. Just because it's inside baseball stuff.
But need you, Lance, sick.
What? How about, hey, Lance is sick, can you come in?
Need you, Lance, sick.
No. That's
what you wrote.
I you know what? I conserve my words.
What you are is drunk at 8:15. That's what you are.
Yeah, that was true.
Yeah, I knew that as soon as I got
you
the text.
You don't think that we had a bunch of Coors Lights
Who
yesterday
was we?
Afternoon?
Who was we?
Me and my peeps.
Doing what? What were you doing? What did you need
golfing?
To have?
Was that enough? Is that enough for you? Okay.
Man, I just wish you'd leave me alone, honestly.
Here's the deal. Now you got 3 hours, and tomorrow it's
going to be unbelievable. I'm not coming in. I'm telling you.
The party. The Christmas party is tomorrow.
Aaron,
Del will be there. There's going to be a hugging booth. It's going to be unbelievable.
Aaron, I don't know how much they're going to want you to do, because the Christmas party is generally a bleep show. You've done it for other shows. The John and Lance version of the Christmas party is generally a disaster. In fact, I can point to that directly as one of the reasons I got fired.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you. Okay.
Allegedly that was the final straw. I have other ideas, but it is a complete bleep show. They don't care about doing an actual show. It's generally for the 200 or however many people show up throughout the 3 hour experience.
So yeah. I usually wake up at about 3:30 in the morning to get ready for the show. I get here at 4:30 to prep.
That seems
tomorrow,
insane.
My
to
alarm is set for 5:30 because I'm not doing stories. I'm not pulling audio. There's nothing.
It's unnecessary.
I'm just gonna sit here by the dump button all day and pick a couple of Christmas songs and call it good.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I got some eggnog in the fridge getting cold for me.
Play Christmas songs and just listen to the bleep show that it is, because it is the worst radio in Houston. There's no question. You have to be there.
Yeah, it's not for anyone.
It's one of those jokes, you had to be there.
Yeah, just to survive it. There's no reason to listen.
No.
You want to show up, you get some free food, maybe you get something from Klein's, and that's about it.
Oh, what about free Coors Lights?
Well, I guess.
Yeah, what do you
mean?
For some
people.
No,
I mean,
for everybody.
Sure, if you like Coors Lights, they'll be there waiting for you, too.
You were throwing it down last year at the party.
I was not.
Yeah.
No, I was not.
Yeah. No, it was a great time had by all.
But if you like those two for whatever reason, you can go out there. I'm putting in my Christmas shift today.
No, tomorrow is Del Day. It's National Del Day.
I'm telling you.
At the Christmas party.
No, I've got a
hugging booth. It's going to be awesome. You get to come up to Del from behind and hug him. He loves that.
I got a strenuous day tomorrow. I got to run a year in review for the work, you know, the show I actually work on. That
you have a strenuous day.
Yes,
it's
a year in review show.
I'm
running that recorded stuff, and then I'm gonna be relaxing and going home. So
you've been on that show for a week.
It's not the show itself. It's just the greatest moments of, I guess, of sports of the year, I guess.
Of sports of the year?
I haven't heard it.
Or a sports map of the year.
I haven't heard it. I don't know what's in it at all.
Okay.
I'll just play the
record. Wait a minute. You're the one producing it.
I didn't put it together.
Oh. Well, then how strenuous? You have to hit the button to play?
Yeah, and that gets tiring. Timing all that stuff out. Because we got hard outs over there.
God.
There are hard outs over there. You
have to
time out.
You can knock out your Netflix queue doing one of those shifts.
I already watched The Witcher, so I can't do. I got to find something else to watch. But yeah, I'm going to go.
Is The Witcher any good?
I like it. I'm a fan. But
Are there dragons in it?
They're monsters. Not necessarily.
There's monsters?
There's dragons. There's a dragon in season one, but there are multiple monsters throughout season two and one.
Oh, my God. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Swords and magic.
Oh, is there Spider-Man in it?
No, I watched that movie, though.
I know you did. You were one of the 80 billion people who made it the second largest opening ever.
Was I one of the people who watched it at 3:45 on a Thursday? Yes. Yes, I was.
You were?
I didn't even wait till like the 6 p.m. showings. I was like, 3:45. I'm going right after the show because I don't want anyone ruining anything for me.
How many people were in that movie?
I would say it was probably 3/4 of the way full. It wasn't a big theater. I went over to Greenway Plaza over there and watched it. It wasn't one of their giant theaters, but probably a capacity of 90 or probably 65 to 70 people.
Really? That many? At 3:45 in the afternoon?
It's a big deal, John.
Stop. It's a spider. Stop. Can we stop? No way home or can't get home or something, whatever the hell it is. Just go home, Spider-Man. Just go away.
He couldn't.
Go away.
He had no way to get home. I don't know if you've read the title of the movie.
I don't know what the title of the movie. All I know is go home. I'm sick of cartoons, okay? Was Spider-Pig in it?
No, he's going to be in the trailer for Into the Spider-Verse. What's the Spider-Pig from the first movie came out, part two? So he might be in that one. We haven't seen him.
Stupid.
Spider-Pig is... Spider-Pig's married to Olivia Munn. The guy who did the voice, he impregnated Olivia Munn, John Mulaney.
He impregnated Olivia Munn? Spider-Pig did?
Yes.
He did?
The voice of Spider-Pig did, yes.
Wait a minute, Spider-Pig talks?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, how stupid. Cartoons. Can we stop with all the cartoons? Although, they're making my wife a lot of money, so I'm all right.
Yeah, what do you...
Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good. Actually, she was like, shut up about that. We like that. We're big fans of Spider-Man because it makes money, okay? Okay. All right, honey. You know who might not make any money is the college football playoff.
Well, I have a question that'll kind of segue into this. Lance is sick?
Yeah.
Where was he yesterday and the day before?
Well, yeah. He got sick when he got home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure that it was one of the kids.
No. He got sick when he got home. So, no biggie. Actually, and it's not COVID related. It's not COVID related. So, it's no big deal.
It's a big deal for me.
It is a kind of a big deal for you because you had to come in here this morning. So, it was a stomach thing. None of that stuff. Anyway, so the College Football Playoff Management Committee, I didn't know that
there was one. I wasn't aware.
There is one. Yesterday they announced a series of new actions that will protect student-athlete health and safety as the Omicron. I just looked up the Omicron deaths. One in the Houston area. One.
Yeah.
And they're not really sure. He was an unvaccinated man with health issues. But he happened to have the Omicron.
So he might have been an individual who had some condition that led to death and had nothing to do or maybe was exacerbated by the Omicron. But for us, it has become a thing where we know the Aggies aren't playing in the bowl game and it might directly affect the chase for a title.
Yeah. The Aggies decided that, their note to everybody, their announcement, it's kind of interesting, due to a combination of COVID-19 issues within Texas A&M football program, as well as season-ending injuries, the Aggie football roster is now in a position to safely participate in the upcoming December 31st Taxpayer Gator Bowl against Wake Forest. It is unfortunate, but we just don't have enough scholarship players available to field a team. That's interesting in that season-ending injuries and quote-unquote COVID-related issues have gotten the Aggies. Now, I'm not accusing them of anything, but you don't have enough players to field a team, really?
For the Gator Bowl.
For the Gator. Well, right.
If it was an Orange Bowl.
Then?
Or a New Year's Six Bowl. maybe they would have had enough scholarship players.
By the way, it's more than it was over a week away from the game. Don't you think you'll get some?
The game is December 31st.
31st, right.
So when they made their decision, or even when the thing came to be an issue, if they test out, I'm not sure the rules for the bowl season, but if you test out, they could have been available. I know Miami's going through something similar where they're having an issue, but they're still practicing. They, instead of doing the full-on stuff, they're doing walkthroughs. Their game is on the 31st, too, and they have multiple players in COVID protocols. In fact, double-digit players in COVID protocols, and they're saying, you know what? We're going to figure out if we can play, and their game is the same day. So I think different schools, and certainly the Miami's had season-ending injuries as well, so I think certain schools are treating it differently. And the Aggies said, nah, it's the Gator Bowl.
It's the Gator Bowl. It ain't that big a deal. Now, I don't know. When I heard that, I was like, oh, really? I mean, that is interesting. I did talk to somebody behind the scenes that knows the program really well, and he said they're decimated. So, you know, that – but I, you know, players opting out, but now entire teams opting out. Here's the deal. Don't test anybody.
Well, no, that's. I thought that.
Let's not test anybody.
I thought that was what was going on.
I did too.
Because
I know smaller schools during the regular season just decided we ain't testing no more.
There was only how many FBS games were postponed for COVID this year? Was there like one, maybe a Cal USC game or something? Was the only game all year long?
Was there?
It was the only one. So I was under the impression once you reach the threshold of vaccinated players, the conferences were allowing teams not to test anymore. All of a sudden, that is back in play for bowl season?
And with Omicron, too? I mean, is that this is what we're canceling games for? When there's no evidence that the Omicron is actually life endangering.
Like
it's actually just a form of the flu is what we're finding out.
Understood, you don't want even the flu spreading through your team. I get that part of it. Being sick is being sick, particularly if the players have symptoms. But I just thought this new influx of not opt-outs, but COVID outs and guys being unavailable is weird considering it wasn't an issue throughout the year.
Suppose Bryce Young tests positive, like right before the game.
Well, if Bill O'Brien's making out with him, then he might.
Well, I'm hoping that Bill O'Brien's not making out with him, but I don't know. Tom Herman always made out with
somebody. Yeah, I'm not saying it had to be romantic.
It didn't work out all that well.
But a kiss on the cheek or something.
Right. I'm just hoping. Well, but if Bryce, this is what's deciding our national championship.
Well, JT Daniels, not that he's a starter, but he's got COVID, so they're hoping to get him back. So it could, and we thought we were kind of through it because college football decided to ignore the issue. It felt like I didn't think the players changed their habits so much that they were never going out and getting COVID. It just seemed like, hey, unless you have symptoms, we're not testing, you get to play.
You know what would be neat? If Michigan, Georgia, and Alabama all get COVID-related issues and can't field teams. Cincinnati's our national championship by virtue of no contest.
Which is the more ridiculous claim for a national title? The UCF 2017 one, or if Cincinnati was like, we're number one.
We win. I think UCF's is still more ridiculous.
Yeah, because Cincinnati made the playoff.
Yeah, Cincinnati actually played well enough to be at the top and to deserve to be there. It's 712 ESPN 97.5. We'll hear from a bunch of people. We'll continue this. And then Greg Cosell's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Stevie D and Eric Sandler a little bit later in the show. And Five Star is going to give us his picks later as well. Rockets lost. We'll talk about that, too. A lot of stuff to do here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, it's GimmeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. He is awesome. Love my man, John Clay Wolf. Because he says stuff. You know what? There's a lot of times he even makes me cringe. And if you can make me cringe, then it's like, ooh, boy, you really achieved something. You really said something that you shouldn't have said. And here's the deal is I don't care what he says as long as he gives me more money for my car. And he did. With Frankie's vehicle, it was a piece of crap, boy. Whew. And he paid me more than I ever expected to get for it. And here's the deal is, oh, well, so sad. Too bad, so sad. You got it. And you know what? He was like, well, whatevs. I told you I was giving you this, and here it is. But here's the deal. I don't want you to get over on him, but I do. I want you to get over on him. I want you to make as much money as you possibly can and him pay as much as possible. I know he's the client. I don't care. I want you to win. And you win every single time because he gives you more for your vehicle. At GiveMeTheVin.com, that's GiveMeTheVin.com.
It's beginning to sound a lot like ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance not here today. Dell is not the hero. Brian says Dell is the hero we need, all need coming in a moment's notice. No, he's not. There's nothing heroic about Dell, so let's stop that.
It seemed like you were a man in need, and you needed some help.
Yeah, no.
In fact, let's go back to the text. Did you not write need you?
No, I didn't say need you.
Need you, Lance, sick.
K-N-E-A-D.
No, I'm not a bread or dough. No, you're not needing me. I don't need that.
K-N-E-E-D.
Deshaun needs to be needed.
I need you in
the nuts. No, you're not kneeing me either. Need you, N-E-E-D. So, yes, there was a show in need, and I came in. Heroic.
No, not heroic in the least. Here's the deal. Well, you know who's heroic is Jim Harbaugh. Did you see his shirt yesterday? Now, so Lance, not yesterday, but the day before, they gave the Joe Moore Award. That's where Lance was, in Ann Arbor, to give the – did you see this award? Do you see how big it is? This is the Joe Moore Award. It's like an entire – it's huge. It's like a cabinet almost, and it's got the five linemen on it. Lance says it's tough. It takes six of them to put it together and carry it in. Anyway, so they brought it to Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh is wearing a Run the Damn Ball shirt. And then all of his offensive linemen in a picture later had to Run the Damn Ball in on their shirts. Is he playing chess here with Georgia?
No, he's going to run the damn ball. I mean, that's the only way they're going to win that game. It just feels like you can't out-physical Georgia. The only team to have success, spread them out and threw the football all across the field, and then they pop some runs.
Yeah. Jordan Davis, you want to run and try to move him and run the ball against that defense?
I mean, it feels like a game where you're looking at if the two coaches have their way, it would be a game that goes 21-17. It'd be a throwback type game because I believe they would both love to run the ball 45, 50 times if they could. I don't know if you're gonna have to be diverse in your running game. You're gonna have to fool Georgia with some of your counters and because I don't think you can just simply run right at them. You have to get to the outside. Some of the stuff they did against Ohio State where they would use their wide receivers in the run game to get the edge. If they can do that, that would help. But just running straight ahead with Haskins, I don't feel like it's a great approach.
Yeah, I don't know that. Well, neither of these teams really have great quarterback play. Actually, you know, Stetson Bennett and McNamara. I guess you both teams really do want to run the ball because I don't want to put it in their hands.
Not against these defenses.
Throw the ball, fling the ball 40 times to win a football game with those guys at the helm. Yeah, so I could certainly see where, and some people are thinking, Jim Harbaugh's just playing with Georgia.
Nah, no, that's who they are. Have you watched Michigan all year?
That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to run the damn ball is what they're going to try to do. Now, that's if they play. But here's the deal. Heather Dinich, ESPN on ESPN Radio, says there's no for these college football playoff teams, there's no holidays.
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't talked to any players specifically about that, but I would imagine that some of them are at least considering that. You know, the other thing, too, that I wanted to point out is that we're at the time of season where injuries and players opting out also decreases the roster size. And so when you look at Texas A&M not having enough players for the Gator Bowl, it's a compilation of things. Their athletic director, Ross Bjork, texted me the numbers, and he said, we have 42 scholarship players unavailable for a combination of COVID, season-ending injury, opt-outs, and transfers. So 42, but he told me that close to half of those are due to COVID, and a majority of those have symptoms.
Well, that is interesting. Now, skipping the initial part was, there's a chance that everybody's skipping the holidays. And Mike Golick Jr. actually weighed in on that.
I would say this. If you're a team that is not used to this time period, if you're a team outside of basically Alabama who's dealt with this and understands what this level kind of requires of you to get to this point here, like Alabama probably can feel comfortable sending their players home. If I'm Michigan, if I'm Cincinnati, if I'm a team that's here for the first time and a team that's had to work really hard to get here and I'm a captain on that team, I'm lobbying us to stay. Like, at this point, you've been away how long during the season? I did plenty of Thanksgivings away from my family. I did plenty of holidays away from my family. I understand everyone's situation's different. And if you've got guys with outstanding family health issues, things they feel like they need to get home for, then I think you can talk about exceptions. But if I am a leader in one of those locker rooms and I have this unique opportunity, I'm looking and saying, I have sacrificed. You spend the whole year sacrificing time away from your families. I am not going to let a little bit more get in the way of this ultimate goal here for our squad.
I agree. I mean, you've worked too hard your whole, not only just this year, this summer, last spring, all of the work that you've put into this, the heart, the tough games that you've played, everything else, for you, everybody to go home and then just blow their shot. I agree. You know, stay. Now, listen, are you going to be able to keep, well, you're on campus. I guess the girls have left. Everybody's gone, right, from campuses and home for the holidays. I would say just stay with your guys and you know, not risk losing a college football a chance to win a national championship because everybody's stupid and going out and doing whatever.
It's about how many days to the semifinals? About 8 games on the 31st, right?
Yeah.
You would hope that the players who have put this type of time in decide, you know what, we can deal with not going home. I know family's important. I guess people say that. I guess it's important. But it's the ultimate goal of a national title. And you know, not that it's a guarantee that if you went home, something could occur. But travel, a rogue family member has it. Who knows? Just avoid risk. Coaches are risk averse in general. This seems like an unnecessary risk when you have everything in front of you. And you've already seen how it's affected coaches, Bill O'Brien, Doug Marrone, COVID. You have JT Daniels, COVID. These are guys who haven't even had the opportunity to go home yet, and they're still fighting this issue. So it just seems like, all right, we've seen it at Georgia, Alabama. We don't know how widespread it is. Guys, let's not take any chances. We have a shot to win a national title. Let's sacrifice this for the chance of the ultimate goal.
And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, the college football player, hey, listen, you can't play because of COVID. You got too many COVID-related issues. You're going to forfeit the game. Here's Heather Dinich talking about that.
There are multiple reasons that they don't want to push it back later than January 14th, and one of them is because players have to declare for the NFL draft on January 17th. Plus, there's the NFL schedule that's ongoing, right? And there's a very real lesson that they learned from 2020, which is teams and players and coaches don't want to continuously reschedule these things. Last year, there was more of an emphasis on postponement. This year, you're seeing an emphasis on the forfeitures. They're going away from that because you're talking about the logistics of keeping players on campus, lengthening and extending practice time. And at some point, they don't want to do it anymore. So with the combination of the NFL draft deadline, the NFL schedule, television, and also the logistics of keeping players on campus for an extended period of time, all of those things are why they said, okay, January 14th, that's the cutoff.
I am really confused about why it's now an issue, because you can't tell me that the habits have changed so much. I know Omicron is more prevalent, but you're telling me the players have all of a sudden gotten lax in their ability to avoid it. It has to be an increase in testing, right? What could be the reason why we had one postponement all year long and now we've had A&M opt out? We've had COVID issues at other teams, with other teams.
I think a huge increase because of this variant, because of Omicron. I think we're seeing you can catch it a lot easier, and actually it's spreading. But again, what's the danger of it?
No, I understand Omicron as a thing, but guys were getting COVID all year last year with a less stringent variant. And sure, things have changed and people, and maybe that kind of burned out. But I can't believe that players have all of a sudden put themselves more at risk than they were throughout the year. Is it anything more than bowl season now they're testing?
I don't know. Can't answer.
It's something they won't answer because if they start publicly talking about how they didn't test during the season, I mean, sure, conferences allowed it, but it becomes a bit of a touchy thing. But I can't think of another reason why this is now reoccurring other than
we're testing more
for whatever reason.
And for whatever, and why? For who? For what? And now, and even guys. Now, it was interesting that they said, that Bjork said, now there were 42 guys, scholarship players, transferring or injured, but half of them had tested positive. And so that makes, what, 21 or 20 in that neighborhood, and that they did feel sick and that they had issues. 20 guys? I mean, if I'm the bowl or any bowl, I don't care about your transfers. I don't care about your injuries. You know what? Get out here and play. But 20 guys, so 20 positive tests are keeping you from playing. I don't care that you don't have 42 guys because, you know what? A lot of teams are facing attrition right now because kids are transferring. They're in the transfer portal. Oh, well, that happens to teams. You got to get out there and play. 20 positive tests should not be keeping you from playing in a football game.
If you're the Gator Bowl, you have to be a bit upset because now you're going to get Wake Forest versus Rutgers. I don't know how many people of the A&M fan base was going to travel to Florida for the game, but it's certainly a less desirable matchup, so it hurts the bowl game. I just think it's a bit of I guess if they feel like those guys weren't ever going to get in a practice field, then they have to pull out because they've made their decision over a week before these games were going to be played. So I guess they felt these guys were never going to practice and we're not going to run guys out there who are not practicing. It just hurts. Not only, I don't care about ESPN so much, but the people who put that bowl together thought they had a pretty good matchup, and now it's gone. But at least
now it's Rutgers.
At least for them, they still get to put on a bowl game. I guess that's the big thing.
I guess. 727, we need all the bowl games we can get. There's not enough of them.
Oh, I hate when people talk about, I know Greg Cosell's coming up. I hate when people talk about, there are too many games. Oh, what? Because
you don't want to watch them?
Oh, why? Because another episode of NCIS you'd rather watch instead? Like, no one ever goes, there's too many TV shows.
No. Well, Lance was in here yesterday. There's too many.
Why?
Don't watch them then.
I know. What, 6-6 Toledo's playing? That's really upsetting you?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm bothered by this.
Who cares? Let them play.
That's
six-win
team.
Let them play.
I know. I'm like, whatever. Why? Who cares?
Either watch it or don't.
728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg Cosell joins us on the other side to talk NFL football. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome in Greg Cosell, NFL Films legend, with us here again this week, earlier than usual because we've got the big Christmas party tomorrow over at Klein's, and we want you all to be there. But Greg Cosell, it's a madhouse, Greg. You didn't want to be a part of that, I promise you that.
I don't want to be a part of it, Greg.
No one wants to be a part of it, really. It's a bleep show. So, Greg, welcome in here today on a Thursday. We appreciate you being here. Thanks for moving your schedule. Do you even care? Did you see the list of the Pro Bowl selections? Do you even care about that stuff?
No, I didn't even look at the list. Oh, yeah. So I don't even know who's on the list.
You don't care about it. Yeah, Greg doesn't bother himself with those kind of things. It's that's not important to Greg Cosell. Greg, more dangerous right now and as a playoff opponent, the 49ers or the Colts?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they're in some ways, they're similarly built as teams. Both start with the run game as their foundation. It kind of raises a larger question. I think we've seen, John, and I think we've discussed this throughout the year, that the run game for a lot of teams this year has become more prevalent. And there's many who obviously believe that the run game is second to the pass game, and that if your quarterback can't make big throws and be the driving force of an offense, that no matter how good your run game is, that you're not likely to be a Super Bowl-type contender, that that's not the profile that leads to Super Bowl contention. Maybe this year we find that out. You know, the 49ers have as multiple a run game as there is in the league because they use motion more than any team in the league. And motion actually is a bigger factor in the run game than it is in the pass game. The Colts are not quite that way, but we know what they do. They line up and they give it to Jonathan Taylor. They've got a very good O-line, and their pass games work off their run games. I guess we'll find out because, you know, the conventional wisdom has always been that when you start to play better defenses, that they take away the run, and then you're going to have to throw. And I remember Bill Walsh always saying that you can have a great run game, but you have to be able to execute each part of your offense, run and pass separately. In other words, one cannot depend on the other to be effective because you never know how any given game is going to play out. So each must be able to function independently of the other.
Stick with the NFC West and the Colts, actually, because the Cardinals are playing the Colts on the NFL Network on Christmas Day. I've heard a discussion about the Cardinals, and a lot of it was about the lack of structure offensively, and it was more, hey, Cliff Kingsbury just depends on Kyler Murray to figure things out for him. And without DeAndre Hopkins, that's becoming more difficult. Is that too much of a shot at Kingsbury? What do you see so far with the Cardinals and kind of their downturn? If there's a big issue, do you see one?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I think ultimately that I've studied Kingsbury in the NFL, and I've actually thought he's done a pretty good job with his route concepts and combinations. I remember doing a study of him this past summer from last year, and I came away believing that, you know, they do a pretty good job in the pass game. But I think it's too easy sometimes to expect a quarterback who's got great second reaction improvisational ability to do that as kind of part of your offense. Because those plays are still random to some degree. You can't count on those plays. That's not the way the game is taught. They don't roll the ball out at practice and say, let's run around and make plays today. And if you don't make those plays, then what does your offense look like? And it's funny that you mentioned the Cards because I thought that the Lions and their coaching staff did an unbelievable job. Obviously, the Lions are not going anywhere, so their coaching staff pretty much said, you know, screw it. We're going to be really aggressive. We're going to blitz. We're going to play man coverage. And it caused problems for the Cards in that game. They never got into a rhythm offensively. Sometimes the issue with quarterbacks that can make a lot of plays with their legs and move around is you just don't seem to get into a rhythm offensively in your pass game. You see that with the Seahawks an awful lot. It'll be interesting to see where the Cards go. This is a very big game for the Cards. They're playing a defense that's very good, very disciplined, and they need to get back on track.
And they're playing a guy. Listen, I saw a stat. Jonathan Taylor has gained more yards against with no blocking, and we saw that. We saw two guys step up into the hole, the Patriots, and he takes off. And scores. I mean, that is just unbelievable to have that kind of guy back there that can make those kind of plays without guys supporting him up front.
Well, that was a specific play because actually McCourty was clean in the hole because he was an unblocked player. He was the safety. He was expected to be clean in the hole because there was no blocker for him. But what the Patriots did on that play was they actually shot Van Noy into the A-gap and they scraped Hightower over the top. So Hightower was not taken by the blocking scheme because of the way in which he moved. So you had two guys essentially who were free in the hole. One was supposed to be, the other they didn't expect. And Taylor beat them both, obviously.
To have something special like that, I mean, that is what a weapon that is.
Yeah, they're going to need, you know, it's funny. I don't know, John, your feeling, your guys' feeling. You know, Carson Wentz seems to get a bad rap, you know, I guess from his last year or two in Philly, because in 2017 people thought he was going to be a superstar. But for the most part, he's played pretty well this year. Yes, he did not play well in that game against the Patriots, and fortunately for the Colts, they did not need him to play well in that game to win it. But he's, for the most part, has played pretty well. I know people wait every game for him to make the reckless play that they just assume he's going to make. And he's made a couple of those this year, and maybe he'll always make those. But for the most part, he's been pretty solid and pretty consistent this year.
Oh, absolutely. We had a discussion yesterday about Matthew Stafford and elite and forget that kind of stuff. But what, how many games would Matthew Stafford be winning in Detroit compared to what he's 10-4 now with the Rams? Now,
well,
Cooper Kupp is spectacular.
Yeah,
he's spectacular, isn't he, Greg?
Yeah, I don't know how to, you know, those conversations to me. You know, people throw out these statements, okay? Like people say, well, he's not great because he doesn't make the players around him better. What does that even mean, John? I mean, so I guess Cooper Kupp and Calvin Johnson, they're just great players, and you and I could have been throwing to them, and they'd be doing the same thing. I mean, you know, people just throw these kinds of things out. I don't even know what these things mean. All I can tell you is I've watched Matthew Stafford his whole career. I watched Matthew Stafford at Georgia. If you're talking about just physical gifts, he's always been right near the very top. He's one of those guys. He's just an easy, loose thrower. He's got a live, loose arm and a power arm. I guess until he wins a playoff game, people are going to think, you know, oh, he's just a guy who puts up numbers. But I guarantee, because I've spoken to people in the league, he is incredibly well-respected. He's thought of incredibly highly. He's very intelligent. There's not a coach in this league that wouldn't be happy with Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. I can tell you that for a fact.
Yeah. And, Greg, as far as, I mean, we see the arm angles and the arm talent, the Mahomes, the Staffords, the Aaron Rodgers, they're just different with the stuff that they can do from different angles.
I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because he was doing that. And again, I'm not necessarily a believer in doing that unless it's absolutely necessary. But the point I was going to make was he was doing that way before Patrick Mahomes, and no one said a word about it because he was Matthew Stafford on a bad team. You know, then Mahomes came in and did it, and all of a sudden it was as if, you know, Western civilization had been reinvented. But Stafford was doing it way before Mahomes.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of talk about, well, the Eagles after this. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. What did you think about his game the other night? And is Jalen Hurts a guy that can lead a team to the promised land?
That's a great question, because the Eagles are a running football team. That's where it starts. Hurts is a significant part of that. That's a foundation. Their O-line is playing incredibly well. The athleticism, the mobility, the cohesion with which they execute different blocking schemes. That game the other night was classic Eagles. You know, Hurts threw 26 balls. I think maybe he had about 30 dropbacks. That's what they want. Now, I thought he played well. You'll always see him miss some things, John. The tape will tell you. When you watch the tape, as I do, he will always miss some things. There's some things he doesn't see. There's times he just doesn't turn it loose when you say that ball's got to be turned loose. So the larger question is that profile a Super Bowl profile? The Eagles clearly have an identity, and it's the way they're going to play every week. Is that a Super Bowl profile?
Greg, coming up, we've got the Patriots and the Bills that likely, if not definitely, determine the division in the AFC's second time they've played in 3 weeks. Now, we know the Bills aren't going to attack the Colts. I mean, the Patriots like the Colts did, just because the Bills, for some reason, don't like run the football outside of last week. Devin Singletary got 20-plus carries. Would you run Josh Allen more against the Patriots just to give them something different? Because Josh Allen with his legs is such a force. But would you add more design stuff to the game plan just to give the Patriots some diversity for the Bills' running game?
Well, I might do that in this given game because you're trying to win this game, but I think that that's not a good recipe for the future. They don't have a very good pass-protecting O-line. Josh Allen is under duress. He's starting to get into that mode of unnecessary, undisciplined movement, which he was not in last year. He was not very good this past week against the Carolina, even though they ended up winning big. It's just too many pass plays. You know, Singletary did have 22 carries, but I believe 11 or more came in the fourth quarter when they had a two-score lead. they still came out as a passing team. And that's who they are, and I'm sure that's who they believe, that's what they believe gives them the best chance, because Josh Allen is so gifted. But you end up with your quarterback having to be Superman on every play, and he starts to feel like he's got to be Superman on every play, and he tries to make every play as opposed to executing an offense. And as gifted as he is, that can... that starts to pose some problems, and we're starting to see him be a little less disciplined, and that's we'll see where they go with that.
Greg Cosell with us here, another segment on the other side. Don't you go anywhere. Quick break, and we got more with Greg Cosell talking NFL football with the senior producer for NFL Films. Don't you go anywhere.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film's own Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
745 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you've got a question for Greg Cosell, or you can tweet us at John Granato, at DelV2, at Aaron is Blitzed, and you've got a question for Greg Cosell. I got a question for Greg Cosell. Russell Wilson. What's the deal this year with Russell Wilson? Is he, how do you explain it? What's happening there?
That's a great question. And I watched that tape this week, and I watch them pretty much every week. So I'm pretty clued into that offense. I had a lot of hope for that offense when they brought in Shane Waldron, because he came from the Rams, and I thought I'd see a lot of that, and you're not really seeing much of that. What a couple of things, just to comment on their pass game. What continues to show up is that the Seahawks passing game features a focus on individual and isolation routes much more than route concepts and combinations. So you're asking your players to win one-on-one. And you know what? You have to win one-on-one in this league, obviously, at times, but they don't do much else. So there's no rhythmic feel to their pass game. And Wilson is, right now, Wilson is struggling, and he struggled much of this year. It even goes back to last year. He's not seeing things particularly clearly. He's tentative and hesitant in the pocket. He's not been consistently precise with his ball placement. And because he's making fewer second reaction improvisational plays, those issues become magnified. We'd always see Russell Wilson. He could go a half, he could go three quarters, guys, and not play well, and then make those special plays in the fourth quarter. And there'd be no defensive coach who would tell you that he wants to play Russell Wilson in the fourth quarter. But those plays aren't happening now. So when you're not getting the second reaction improvisational plays, you need your offense to work within the structure and timing and rhythm of the offense and the pass game. And that's not really happening right now. So therefore, their offense is kind of stuck.
It's bad. It's unbelievable.
It's a tough watch.
For the first time, he's not making the playoffs, and that's just a bad football team right now. My partner here today, Dell, is a big Miami Dolphins fan. What are you seeing out of Tua this year?
Yeah, Tua this is what I evaluated him coming out of Alabama. This is what he is in the NFL. He is a timing rhythm player. He's a short to intermediate dart thrower. He's got to hit the back foot. The ball has to come out. He doesn't move particularly well. He can't sit in the pocket and drive the ball down the field. That's not his game. His game is built on the ball coming out. That's why the RPO game works for him. That's why the quick game works for him. He has a fascinating matchup this week against the Saints defense that plays a lot of man and will look to disrupt routes at the line of scrimmage. So we'll see if the timing of the pass game, because look, when you run that kind of pass game, you don't get to the quarterback. The ball gets out. So if you can't get to the quarterback, then what do you have to do? You have to disrupt the routes. So that's what the Saints will try to do. And they'll try to get people in the passing lanes because they'll study the pass offense and know what kind of routes they run. So, but that's what Tua is. That's his game. He's very good at that game. He can be really, really efficient. He's very accurate. His ball placement is precise. But that's his game. It's not a mystery.
Sticking with the Saints and Dennis Allen, I mean, the narrative is he owns Tom Brady. I mean, I don't want to.
Well, then Dennis Allen probably has a lot of money if he owns Tom Brady.
Well, certainly. But as far as Saints versus Bucks, defense versus Brady, that's the talk this week. From what you've seen from their matchups, is there something special he's doing, or is that just his toys, his roster making that happen?
I think there's subtleties to it, Dell. That's the thing. It's you know, he's not reinventing the wheel. And in fact, in this past week, they hardly ever blitzed. It was four-man D-line pass rush, and I thought it was one of the worst games that this Bucks O-line played all season. They got beat a lot with individual one-on-one matchups, and you rarely ever see that. But what the Saints do, they play two-man coverage than any team in the league, meaning they play man-to-man with two free safeties, okay, two deep safeties. But it's the way they use their safeties. Those safeties just don't sit back there. They move around. They react to routes and route combinations. They lurk. They rob. They play in the middle. You know, they make it difficult for the quarterback to know exactly where they're going to be. And because it's two-man and you do have the two deep safeties, the man-to-man defenders can do what we call undercut or tailgate routes, and which means they can get underneath them. And that means that the passing lane is not clean. And this can cause problems for quarterbacks, and it can make a quarterback feel that, hey, I don't even want to attempt those throws, or he can get stuck in the pocket because you think a throw's there and it's not. So the Saints do a really, really nice job with that, with their safeties. And they also, DeMario Davis, and he's probably one of the top three or four linebackers in this league as a three-down player. He has such a good feel for what's happening that he just does a lot of really good things with an understanding of the opponent that he's facing. So the Saints are a difficult defense to play against.
Yeah, and they got pressure on him. Isn't that the kryptonite for Tom Brady? If you can get pressure on him with four guys like the Giants have done in a couple of Super Bowls?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants that, John. Right. Look, the bottom line is everybody wants – think of it this way. Football is a numbers game. That's what it ultimately comes down to. Everybody would love to be able to get consistent pressure with four because that means you have seven in coverage. If you can't get pressure with four, then you got to add a fifth, and that means you only have six in coverage, mm-hmm. and then that limits your coverage options. You know, so it's all a numbers game. So everybody would love to be able to get pressure with four, and the Saints were able to do that in this given game.
The Giants have shut down Daniel Jones, and the question is Daniel Jones an answer? What do you think so far of Daniel Jones in his career?
I think it's been at times a tough evaluation simply because I think this team is – the O-line has been in flux. It's been very up and down. The weapons have not really been there. Barkley has not been there, so they've never had a consistent run game with very few exceptions. So Jones has been operating in a bad situation. I think Jones has traits to be a quality NFL starter. But, again, because he was drafted sixth, people are expecting, you know, all-pro Hall of Fame. He's not going to be that guy, but I think if you gave him the things that you know, I mentioned that they have not had, I think he can execute your offense. But it's looked bad because it's been really problematic with the rest of their offense. The inability to run the ball has been a real, real problem for them.
Yeah. I'm a Joe Brady fan because we're LSU people down here.
Oh, okay, yeah. And he actually, you know, put in the Saints offense because he had spent the previous 2 years with the Saints.
Yeah. And he went and he was the scapegoat for Carolina. But then I watched Cam Newton last week. Boy, I don't think that's on Joe Brady.
Yeah, it's tough to watch Cam right now. And you know, again, I only respond to what the tape shows. But right now, he just doesn't look like he can really line up and play in this league as a quarterback. And obviously, had a great career for a number of years there, made it to a Super Bowl, was a league MVP. But when I watched him throw last year with New England, and then seeing him throw this year, it's not there. You know, so. Yeah, I guess they announced him as the starter again, saying that Darnold will play, though. But there's a team that will obviously be in the market for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Greg, I know you don't probably operate like this, but if you had your choice of who would make the AFC wild, who would make the AFC playoffs as the wild card, who would you choose? Because I don't know if I can watch Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I just don't think I want to see that. But if you had your choice of teams,
or
who would you
Browns.
Yeah, that too. Who would you like to see in these playoffs?
Well, yeah, I don't. It's funny because I haven't looked at the standing, so I don't know the teams. I mean, I guess the Chargers are in contention, right?
Yeah. The Chargers, the Browns, the Raiders, the Dolphins, almost everyone. The Jets, the Jags,
the Ravens,
right?
Yeah.
I always enjoy watching the Chargers because Herbert's so gifted. I enjoy watching Herbert play. You know, I think that the tape is really good with Herbert. He's for a second year quarterback. There's a refinement to his game, a polish to his game. He operates very efficiently from the pocket. I like watching Herbert. I mean, you're right about the Steelers. Their offense is tough to watch. You know, based on tape study, and I know the Steelers have started two rookie offensive linemen, and they've had to mix and match in some other areas on the O-line. So it's been probably a less than perfect O-line. But I'm curious as to Najee Harris and where his career goes, because there's not really a lot of juice to him. I remember being on the floor of the Dome a number of years ago at the Combine and speaking to Fred Taylor. And Fred Taylor said something to me that I've never forgotten. He said, if you're going to be an inside runner in this league, he said, you must have the ability to re-accelerate, because you're going to run into a lot of bodies, and you're going to have to sort of stop and slow down, and you must be able to re-accelerate. And that's not a trait I see from Najee Harris on tape. So I'm really curious to see where his career goes.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. You know who was great at that? It was Le'Veon Bell. He'd wait, and then take off.
Well, then he had the ability to accelerate in his prime. I mean, obviously, he's not been in his prime for a number of years, but you're right. Yeah. He could re-accelerate almost from a standing still point.
Right. And Fred, you know, Jonathan Taylor has that as well. Unbelievable. Wow, that's good stuff. That's Greg Cosell with us here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Off next week, I think. Are we done? That's it? This is it for Greg? Hey, Greg, this was a lot of fun all year long. We really appreciate it.
Oh, so we're done, guys?
Yeah,
I guess my swan song?
Yeah, we're off. Yeah, we're off next week. The show's off next week, and then I guess the new year hits, and I think that's it. So, boy, that was a lot of fun this year, Greg, getting your insight. We really appreciate you, and hopefully we can do this again.
I love it. I mean, if you guys can work something out, I'd love to talk to you during the playoffs, but that's up to you guys, brother, because I love this conversation. We just talked some ball. It's great.
That's awesome. Well, we really appreciate it. Greg Cosell, the great Greg Cosell with us here every week on ESPN 97.5. It was a great year. Greg, thanks again.
All right, John. Appreciate it. Take care, my man.
All right. There is Greg Cosell, and I guess that's it. I guess that's it from Greg Cosell right here, ESPN 97.
I was waiting for Greg to hang up. What Greg said when he said, if you guys could work something out, hey, if you cut that check,
it's what he said.
I'd be glad to join you for the playoffs.
Cut the bag?
Yeah. Hey, drop that bag. Hey, it's recruiting season. You want to drop a bag?
Hey, it's the NIL.
Signing days, right? The traditional signing days right around the corner in February. You want to drop a bag? I'll commit.
All right, we're taking a break. Top of the hour here, 7:59, ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from ESPN 97.5.